1 Thessalonians chapter 2, same text we had this morning, same six verses. We'll give you part two of Paul's relationship with the Thessalonian people. And we're going to center tonight in verses 10, 11, and 12. We were in 7, 8, and 9 this morning. But let's read all 6, 7 through 12 tonight. Let's stand, please. And I'll read the odd verses. Join me on the even-numbered verses 7 through 12, 1 Thessalonians 2. And our Bible says, again, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for your book. Bless the reading of it to our hearing tonight. And then I pray that you'll bless the preaching of it to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'll take the scriptures, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, quick and powerful, sharp than two-edged sword, and just, Lord, pierce us under to the dividing of soul and spirit tonight, and implant some truth in our heart. May we have good ground to receive it. May it bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And I'll thank you for it. God, give us a good service in your book, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Of the dear Savior's birth.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly, for that good Christmas song. Wonderful. Now, in this passage of Scripture, two phrases jumped out at me in my Bible reading earlier this week. Paul said in verse number 7 that when he was first among the Thessalonian people, he was gentle as a nurse cherisheth her children. And then at verse number 11, he said that he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of them as a father doth his children. So his relationship took on a second characteristic. It changed slightly after they'd been saved and so forth and the church began. And I want to speak to you tonight on his relationship to these people, part 2, instructing them to sanctification. This morning we talked about nursing them to salvation. Then Paul instructed them to sanctification as a father doth his children. So I want to talk to you about that subject tonight. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we don't bow and pray just because it's in the bulletin, because we're supposed to. There's an asterisk here printed in the bulletin. We're supposed to pray. We stop and pray one last time because this is it. This is the highlight of the evening. The songs have been a blessing. The fellowship has been sweet. It's been good to be here. The music's been wonderful. But Lord, it's your book that changes our hearts. And so I pray that you'll bless us now in these moments and help me, help my voice to last through the message and give my mind clarity of thought and strength to preach in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church and spoke of his relationship with them. As I said a few moments ago, his relationship took on a different characteristic later on. In the beginning, he was as a nurse who cherisheth her children. Paul nursed these people to salvation. He desired for them to be saved. We spoke about that this morning. He counted them dear. I spoke about that this morning. And he devoted some time to help them come to salvation. So he nursed them to salvation by doing those three things. Having a great desire, counting them dear to his own heart, and then devoting some time to them. But as the people got saved and the church began to assemble and grow, Paul's relationship with them took on a different characteristic. He began to rear them to sanctification. The Bible says, as a father doth his children. I believe it's in chapter 4. Yes, it is. And verse number 3. Look at what the Word of God says here. For this is the will of God. Here it is. Even your sanctification. You ever get bogged down about wanting to know what God's will is for your life? What is God's will for my life? What does God want for me? What is His will for me? Well, here it is, friend, printed right here in His holy book. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. It's God's will for every member of Faith Baptist Church to become more and more sanctified, less and less like the world, more and more like Jesus Christ. The word means set apart. It means different. All right? That's what it means. Sanctification, that's God's will for His people. And so Paul said, my relationship changed with you. I began to instruct you as a father doth his children. Rear you to sanctification. Now look, folks, it took the gentleness of a nurse to bring these people to salvation. But then it took the hands-on instruction and involvement and intensity of a father to bring them along in sanctification. Now, his goal, look at verse number 12 with me, if you would, please. That ye would walk worthy of God. See that phrase right there? There it is right there. Walk worthy of God. This was a common theme Paul carried to all churches that he started. Listen to these verses. To the church at Ephesus, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. To the Philippian church, he wrote this in chapter 1, verse 27. Listen carefully. Only let your conversation, watch it now, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Becoming to the gospel of Christ. To the church at Colossae, chapter 1, verse 10. Paul said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This was a common theme. Walk worthy of God. He spoke it to the Ephesian church, to the Philippian church, to the Colossian church, to the Thessalonian church. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk worthy, Christian. Walk worthy. Make your conversation, your behavior, that which becomes the gospel of God. Walk worthy. The word means appropriately, as becoming, worthily. Walk worthily of the Lord, of the gospel of God. Walk worthy of that. Now I want you to notice here, first of all, tonight, the goal of Paul's instruction. I just gave it to you in verse number 12. Walk worthy of God. Now I want you to see here, Paul reminded them of what God had done for them. He said, "You walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory." Paul said, "Hey church, don't forget that God called you to salvation. He rescued you from the devil's kingdom and translated you into His kingdom." In Colossians 1:3, he said these words, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." That's not just those of us who used to go to rock concerts. That's every person in this church who was once a sinner and is now a child of God. We were all enveloped with the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Don't forget, Christian, that we were citizens of Satan's kingdom, which is a kingdom controlled by the power of darkness. Don't forget that you and I, our minds were dark. Our hearts were dark. Our motives were dark. We lived in a kingdom of darkness. I don't care if you got saved at 5 years of age or 4 years of age. Every person in this room lived under the power of darkness. But glory to God. God called, and the light of the gospel burst through the darkness, and we were saved. And Paul said we were carried away. We were translated to a new kingdom. I used to be a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. Now I'm a citizen of the kingdom of glory. All because God called. God called. Don't forget that. God called. Translating us, transferring us to a new kingdom of light and glory. I love to look back. No, I shouldn't say that. I better rephrase that. I don't love to look back to where I was. But every now and again, I make myself look back to where I was. Because I don't want to forget where I came from. I don't want to forget what it used to be. And I thought I was being so cool. And I thought I was being, by the way, you know what cool means, don't you? Not so hot. Amen. That's what you are when you're acting cool. You ain't so hot. I thought I was big. I thought I was cool. I thought I had my life under control. I thought I was on my way. I thought I had it all together. But you know what the truth of the matter was? I was a pauper. I was a pawn. I was a puppet. I was in bondage and darkness until God called and I received Jesus Christ and my citizenship was transferred to a new kingdom. Doesn't hurt you to think about that once in a while. Doesn't hurt you to remember that once in a while. The old kingdom was dreary. The old kingdom was dark. The old kingdom was dungy. The old kingdom was dismal. The old kingdom was disgusting. The new kingdom is glory. And Paul said, don't forget, it was God that called you out. And if He doesn't call out, we don't come out. Get it down, neighbor. Get it down, friend. We believe that salvation is of grace. All of grace. Be very careful tonight. We get saved when God calls. We get saved because God calls. No, sir. We don't get saved when we feel like it. We don't get saved when we want to. We don't get saved when we decide, you know, this is the time. We get saved when God calls. And I'll tell you what, truth matters, He calls everyone. There's nobody He doesn't call. And I'm glad He calls everyone. I'm glad for that. But I want to tell you something. Personally, I'm absolutely thrilled that He called me. I mean it. I'm thrilled that He called. I go back to those times in age 15, 16, and 17. Oh, living in that kingdom of darkness and the power of darkness shrouding me.
My mind was dark. My heart was dark. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't decide straight. I mean, I was messed up. And then all of a sudden, light. What was that light? God calling. Come out of there, boy. Come out of there, boy. Come out of there, boy. And I'm glad that I responded when God called and got transferred to a new kingdom. That's what Paul's talking about here. That's what he's talking about in verse number 12. Who hath called you unto His kingdom and His glory. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that calleth you. I like 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. I like 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us. You get the picture, folk, that we don't get saved when we want to. We don't get saved when we choose. We get saved when He calls. And you better be glad He called. And you better go back in your mind and heart and thank Him for calling and for calling. And for some of us, He had to call and call and call and call and call until we finally responded. Thank God that He called us, that He's faithful. Thank God for that call. Is He calling you tonight? Is He saying to some church member here, be saved, come to salvation, trust in Jesus, give Christ your heart? Is He saying that to you, church member? Is it because your name's in the roll of a church doesn't mean you're on your way to heaven? Putting your name on a church roll doesn't translate you from the power of darkness and the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of glory. Getting baptized in that tank back there doesn't translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of glory. When God calls and you answer, translate it from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of glory. Is He calling you tonight? I feel that He's calling some folks in this church to salvation. I don't mean to put anybody on a bad doubt trip. And those of you who are sometimes given to doubt, I'm pretty well convinced that you're saved. But I'm going to tell you what. When there's no spiritual appetite, when there's no spiritual interest, when you sleep through every church service, they got to wonder what you're doing at home, how late you're staying up, what you're doing at night to sleep through every church service. No spiritual appetite. I'm going to tell you something. It concerns me. Just because your name's in the roll of this church, you've not been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of glory because you're a church member. Amen. If you're saved tonight and you know it, brother, that doesn't bother you at all. You think, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad God called. I'm in. I'm concerned about some. Oh, yes, sir. You think Faith Baptist Church, you heard stories about church members getting saved, this church, that church, church members getting saved. You think we're the only church, all members are saved? No, sir. There's always tares among the wheat. Always is. It's biblical. I'm just waiting for someday when the Spirit of God gets on somebody's heart so thick and so heavy and so pounding that they finally strip away the pride and strip away the veneer and the varnish and strip away caring what anybody else thinks and plows down to this altar and says, Brother Caleb or Pastor, I'm not saved. I got to get saved. I'm waiting for that day. I believe it'll happen. I really do. Translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of glory because God called. Now look. Paul said, because God called you into salvation and glory. Because God gave you what you didn't deserve. Because God put His grace on you. Because God extended His mercy to you. Because God put His love in you. Because God gave you hope. The least you can do is walk worthy of God. Live a life that is becoming of this calling. You've been called into His kingdom. Act like you belong there. Behave like you. Not proudly. Not walking around with your snoot in there. Not like you're deserving. But act like you belong. Act like you belong. You've heard me tell the story of Daryl and Lila Bell before. You may not remember it, but that's the elderly couple out in Iowa. They died 4 days apart. Lila died. She was in the nursing home, I believe. Died when she was 80. Like on a Thursday. Funeral was on Saturday. Brother Brown and I did it up in the Kyoto funeral home. Took her body to the cemetery, buried her there. On Saturday. On Sunday. Her husband, Daryl, Sunday afternoon, went to the University of Iowa Hospital. He was 82 years of age. Had open heart surgery on Monday. Brother Brown was at the hospital. Daryl never came out. He died on the operating table. His wife died on Thursday. He died on Monday. Call it what you want to. That's too coincidental for me. I don't know. Been married all those years. Never had any children. Never had a single child. Farmed out there. And brother, I'm telling you what, when they died,
They were worth over $1 million. They left Marion Avenue Baptist Church $100,000. They gave some to other ministry that they enjoyed. They gave some to the public library, and they gave some here and they gave some there. They were worth $1 million. But brother, you would never have known it. Never have known it. And that's good to a point, don't you think? Money shouldn't affect people, but Daryl went the other way. He went the other way with it. You go to visit Daryl and Lila, they wore the most pitiful clothes. I mean pitiful clothes. I don't mean just not fancy. I mean old clothes. I mean pitiful clothes. Most of the time, he was in a pair of bib overalls. And when they come to town, it was just pitiful clothes. You go to visit them, they'd have one light bulb burning. One. One. I sit in the living room there, visit with them many times, Daryl and Lila. One bulb burning. Like a 60, 75 watt bulb. One bulb burning in the house. Go there in the wintertime. Freezing. Daryl have four coats on. Lila have three coats and sweaters on, all bundled up. Didn't run the heat. Absolutely frozen. When they came to town, he made her pack a brown paper bag lunch. When they came to town, they had $1 million in the bank. And they brought, Washington, Iowa in those days didn't have a whole lot of places to eat, come to think of it. They didn't have a McDonald's, they do now. But they did have a Hardee's. They did have a Kentucky Fried Chicken. They did have a few little, cafes on the square, the town square. And oh, no. Made her pack a brown paper bag lunch. And the only way you knew Daryl had any kind of money, he drove a Z28, a Camaro. Whoa. That's what he drove. I don't know, Brother Brian, if you remember that or not. Drove a Z28. And an old house. Now look, it's good that money didn't go to Brother Daryl's head. And it's good that it didn't go to Sister Lila's head and they didn't get to the place where they acted like they were big shots because they had a bunch of money in the bank. But my goodness, they took it so far the other direction. I mean, they could have lived a little bit like that. They could have run the heat. They could have turned on an extra bulb or two. And he could have taken her Kentucky Fried Chicken or something. I mean, just for a dinner. Come on. Are you with me, church? You understand the illustration? Are you understanding? Look, you and I should not strut about because we are saved. We should not act like big shots because we're saved. But I want to tell you something, church. We ought to leave behind the poor life of lying and leave behind the poor life of jealousy and leave behind the poor life of bitterness and leave behind the poor life of lust and the poor life of cursing and the poor life of alcohol and the poor life of gambling and the poor life of criticism and the poor life of ugly words and the poor life of stealing and the poor life of selfishness. That's a poor, poor, poor life. A life that is not worthy, not becoming to what God has called us to. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. Man alive. Lay aside that old stuff. That's a poor way to live. I was talking to the church down in... I was talking to the preachers down in... Dunlap, Indiana. Great day. Town of 300 people. 100 people in town. The guy runs between 180 and 200 every Sunday morning. I mean, it is remarkable. He had a preacher's fellowship on Tuesday morning, and I was preaching down there. And I'll tell you one thing, friend. I'll promise you, one of the groups of people who is the most given to jealousy, in my opinion, is preachers. Pastors. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Why in the world our type men just can't be happy for God to bless somebody else's church? I don't understand it. Now, I told the story about Dan Woodward. How that here a couple showed up at his church over there in Dwight. And we looked at the visitor card. They were from Manteno. I think I've told you this already. They're from Manteno. Brother Dan called them in. And they said, well, glad you're here, but what are you driving by Faith Baptist Church? Well, we didn't know and everything. Dan said, No. No, you'll be more faithful at Faith Baptist. You'll be more involved at Faith Baptist. You'll be more going there. That's where you need to go. Now we have an involved, giving, working family in this church because that brother has no jealousy. No jealousy in his heart. No jealousy in his heart. I want to tell you something. That's big time.
I thanked him for it on the phone this morning. I told him that story. I said, I talked about you down in southern Indiana. And he listened to it. When I got all done with my spill, he said, yeah, but I'll never do it again, bless God. Amen. We had a good time. That's a poor way to live, Christian. Poor way to live jealous. Poor way to live critical. Poor way to live with an old, ugly spirit. That's a poor way to live. It's a poor way to walk. It's poor. Hey, God is with you now. He did not walk with you before. He did not fellowship with you before. You have been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, and the Spirit of God lives in you. Get cleaned up. Get straightened up. Away with that poor way of selfishness and sin. Walk worthy of God. Amen. Your speech, your behavior, your activity, your music should all be altered because you've been called unto salvation, called into His kingdom. Walk worthy of your calling. Paul said, man, I had to change my relationship with you a little bit. I nursed you to salvation. But then I had to become like a father instructing his children and to sanctification. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. That was the goal of Paul's instruction. Now, number two, I want you to see the methods of Paul's instruction. Look at verse number 11. I'm taking these verses in reverse order tonight. Look at verse number 11 here. He said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. You see, a father is supposed to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not send them up, bring them up. Not, this is good for you, but don't expect me to be involved. Bring them up. Now, Paul took these people under his wing, and he instructed them and nurtured them as a father does his children. And notice how he did it. He said, first of all, verse number 11, he exhorted them. He pleaded. That word exhorted is a strong word. He begged them. It wasn't, hey, you know, I hope you all live right. He put his heart in it. He desired it. He begged them. He craved it. He exhorted them. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. The Bible says he comforted them. Verse number 11, he encouraged them. Hey, folks, you can do it. You can leave the old life behind. You can put off the jealousy. You can put off the lying. You can put off the stealing. You can put off the critical spirit. You can put off the laziness. You can put off the jealousy and bitterness. Put it off. Put on the new man which you are in Christ Jesus. You can do it. He encouraged them. And there's not a person in this room that can't do it. Who doesn't want to do it? If you want to do it, you can do it. Paul said he exhorted them. Paul said he comforted them. Look at the next one. Paul said he charged them. He challenged them. He challenged them. Be different, Paul. Don't walk according to the kingdom of this world. You've been translated out of that kingdom. Walk worthy of God's kingdom. He challenged them. He challenged. What that means? His instruction was with passion. Passion. He was intense and fervent about it. Like a father is passionate about instructing his children. I tell you something, Dad. If you're the right kind of dad, it's not you, instructing your children is not something you do if you have time. It's something you make time for. It's something you take time for. And you look forward to it. And you take it personally. I want these children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, listen to me. Watch for this and watch for that and instruct your kids and teach them about the pitfalls of youth and prepare them to walk with God. Put your heart... That's what a dad does. That's what a dad does. The right kind of dad. Paul said, I treated you like a father treats his children. You know, new people come. And if they've never been in a Bible preaching church, if they've never been under the influence of someone who believes this book and who loves people and who wants God's blessings on them, they see me up here sweating and walking around and having a fit and banging the pulpit and being intense and fervent in spirit. And I'll promise you, the looks on their faces, what is he doing? Do you understand, folks, in these denominational churches, and even these, they get some little dead ditty about social gospel things. There's no meat to it, no substance. The man plans for his little 30-minute message, not dare go over a second. Has it all homiletically correct, never moves a muscle, stands up there like a wooden Indian. You folks, many of you have been so far removed from the denominationalism, you've forgotten. Some of you have grown up in an independent Baptist church. You're used to a preacher like myself. Not everybody is. And they see us up here preaching like this and they say, what in the world is he doing? Let me explain what I'm doing. What if a dad only, why does he say, hey, teenager, sit up. Sit up. This is not sleeping time. This is sitting up time. You think I'm being mean? No, I'm not being mean. The message of this book has the potential to change your life. How in the world are you going to get it if you're sitting out there like this? Plus, that's a total, complete lack of respect for the house of God. Now, I don't care. If I don't care what y'all say, if you get tired of that, you could just say, Brother Angel, you need to move on. Bring you another pastor in. I don't care, buddy. As long as I have this pulpit, I'm not going to put up with that. I don't put up with it from the bus kids. Why should I put up with it from the church kids? I'll tell you why. What if a dad only had 40 minutes a week? Or one morning. One morning he had 40 minutes. That's all he had. And then another evening maybe he had 45 to 50 minutes. And then maybe another evening he had about 35 minutes. And in a 7-day time period, all that dad had was 40 minutes one morning and 45 one evening and 35 another evening. That's all the time he had to instruct his children only 3 times a week in a very limited time. That's not much time. And a dad would recognize the necessity of making every one of those times count. That's all I get, folks. Look, I am not your father, but I am your pastor. And I long for you exactly as the Apostle Paul longed for these people who walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. Grow in grace. Have His blessing on your life. Enjoy His touch. Enjoy a good marriage. Have a happy family. Love your children. Children, love your parents. Husband, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. I want that for every one of us. I'm fervent about it. I plan to stay fervent about it. I'm intense about it. I plan to stay that way. I get Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's all I have. I must exhort, and I must comfort, and I must charge, and I must desire, and encourage, and challenge you. I must put my heart into it. I must put my soul into it. I must be intense. I must be fervent. This is not a show with me. This is not a performance. No! That's why I want you to participate in the service. If I ask a rhetorical question, if I ask who did this, who did that, I want you to participate. This is like a... I mean, how many of you fathers sitting around the living room with your children having devotions and you ask a question and nobody responded? You just go on? You say, hey kids, I asked you a question. Folks, how do you think I feel sometimes? Is anybody getting this? Obviously not. All right. We're in this thing together. But we're a family. I'm not your father. Sometimes folks get saved out of Catholic backgrounds and come to the church and they'll say, Father Angel. Yeah, seriously, they do that, you know. That was a good Mass. Well, I'll be at Mass tomorrow. I've heard that many times. I'll be at Mass tomorrow. I am no father. A spiritual father. No, sir, not at all. Don't wear a collar backwards and dress like mom. Oh, no, 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 no. No. But I am your pastor. This is a God-called office. And I long for you. When we come to church time, it's like the family in the living room sitting around together. We sing a few songs. We open our Bible. I'm not performing. I'm not up here putting on a show. I'm like a dad imploring and exhorting and begging and challenging his children. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. That's what I'm doing up here, folks. Boy, I'll tell you, jump into it with me. I really believe with all my heart we should all walk worthy of God. I believe we all will benefit from walking worthy of God. I believe we'll be blessed if we walk worthy of God. And I know some of the pitfalls. I know the tactics of Satan. I know the bondage of sin. I know the slavery of selfishness. I've learned people. I've learned to read people from working with people for all these years. I'm not a professional. You know, you're not charged 50, 75 bucks an hour for this. This is free. And I just want you to enter into this thing wholehearted with me. This is family time. As a father instructs his children, walk worthy of God. I'll beg you, I'll encourage you, and hopefully I'll challenge you, walk worthy of God. I don't plan to stop that until Jesus is done with me. I don't plan to stop. Now, in an application sense, let me say to you Sunday school teachers, you ought to have the same intensity about your Sunday school class. Same intensity. I'm talking about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 11 o'clock in the morning, or 10 o'clock. Same intensity. You've got 30 minutes with them. Be intense, teachers. Oh, you don't have to scream and holler and shout like I do up here. Might scare them half to death in that little classroom. But my goodness, don't waltz your way through a Sunday school lesson yawning, half-prepared, coming here half-cocked, staying up till 2 o'clock Sunday morning, watching a dumb television, or staying out not prepared for Sunday. Look, come to that class, be ready. Like a father would his children. The bus captains and the Spanish service and the teen church, do the same thing. That's the methods of his instruction. Paul said, I challenged you, I exhorted you. Hey, let me ask you teenagers a question. You know, y'all ever think, you know, boy, pastor's up there, man alive, sweating and stomping and yelling, raising his fence. How do you think my own kids feel sometimes? What if your dad got up here and carried on like I do? Be sitting back there going, they do pretty good with it. You got 6 children, you got six different personalities. I got some that just eat it up, and I got some that just... Huh? Sure. Yes? This is our extended family. I feel about you folks like I do my brother Tom out in Ohio. I feel about you folks like I do about my brother Tim in Florida. You're our people. We're brought together here on the street corner. It's not I, me, or mine. It's us. And I want us to walk worthy of God. And I plan on challenging us to the best of my ability with God's help and exhorting you using these methods of instruction as a father would his children. Your dads ever get a little stern? Situation calls for it. Do you get stern? As a father doth his children. That's how Paul said he was with these people. Folks, you ought to be glad. You ought not get offended. Stick your thumb in your mouth and pout like a baby and sulk. Don't get offended. If I'm stern, if I'm on something, plowing down your cornfield, man, look, don't get offended. As a father doth his children. I didn't write it. God wrote it. Paul said it. He's speaking to a church just like this church. I instructed you as a father did his children. The goal of this instruction, to walk worthy of God. The methods of this instruction, encouraged, exhorted, challenged, charged, comforted. And I want you to see, number 3 tonight, I'll be done here now. Look at number 3, verse 10. Look at the example in Paul's instruction. And I'll end here. Look at verse 10. Ye are witnesses. Are you with me in verse 10 there? Ye are witnesses. And God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. You know who the example was to walk worthy of God? Paul was. Paul said, hey folks, When I was with you, you are a witness. Now watch this. This is what jumped out at me as I studied this passage. Ye are witnesses, and God also. Now let me turn the table just a little bit here right now. You want to destroy your kids? Live one way in front of men, and another way in front of God. And think you can get by with it. Put on a show in front of your children. And in private, where God sees, live differently. And you'll kill your kids. Paul said, you want to know who is the example of walking worthy of God? Paul said, I was. And he said, you all were witnesses. You watched me. You heard me. You live with me, and I want you to know that how I lived in front of you is how I lived in front of God. He wasn't a double personality. He wasn't one way in front of people, another way in private. Before them and before God, Paul was a man who lived holy, justly, and unblameless. You want God's power on your life? Don't be a split personality. Don't be a double person. And some of you don't even try to hide it in front of the kids. You live one way at church, another way at home. You're going to kill them. You're going to kill them. They won't respect God. They won't respect the things of God. They won't respect the man of God. They won't respect the church. They won't respect the teachings of God. You can't do that, folks. You simply can't do that. They hear me. I'm not a perfect man. Far, far, far from it. But I do try to be an example. I do try to be an example. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to any Christian in this church. And I try to be an example where it, in front of you, and I try to be the same example when I'm away from you. Before God, I want His touch, His blessing, His power on my life. I don't want God's hand to come off of this ministry. Whether you know it or not, I don't stand up here often. I know some preachers who do that. They talk about their church like it is the best in everything. Boy, also, so this is what they do, but we don't do that. This is how they are, but we're not like that. And buddy, this is how these, but we're not like that. And buddy, we got our problems, we got our pimples. But in case you don't know, God's been mighty good to Faith Baptist Church. Mighty good. There's a good spirit here. I travel a little bit, folks. I know I get in places. It's a good spirit here. Not a perfect spirit, but a good spirit. God's blessed us with growth numerically. God's blessed us with growth financially. God's blessed us with growth buildings-wise. God's blessed us with growth in our missionary family. Now we're not just supporting missionaries. Now we're sending missionaries, and they're counting on us. God's been mighty good to us. Mighty, mighty good to us. I don't want His hand to come off this place. I don't want His hand of blessing to leave Faith Baptist Church. One of the quickest ways to do it is if I or you, Brother Jorge, or Brother Don, or Brother Caleb, Brother Jason's at the concert tonight, the last thing he'll do for the college up there. If any of us or any of you live a double life, God's blessing will come off. We can't do that, folks. We've got to be right before men and before God. Before men and before God. Let me tell you something. In the early days of my salvation, I got hit real hard. Got punched in the gut. When the two most influential men in my life spiritually both bombed out. That was awful. said it was awful. Now, I don't mean just quit because they got discouraged. I mean immorality. Immorality. Man who preached the Bible to me. Immorality. I said, how's that? So when I found out, I couldn't believe it. What? No. I sat two or three rows back, service after service. I watched the man turn red in the face. I watched him cry and weep. How many times did I go to that altar? He preached me to salvation. No. I was in denial. I could not believe that man to whom I had given my heart, my confidence. Immoral. God help. That's a punch in the gut. You listening tonight? And then the fellow that took me into the home, taking drugs, taking a pistol and holding up drugstores, ended up back in jail. It almost got me. I almost said, I can't do it. If they can't, I can't. I can't do it. The devastation of leadership who lived a double standard. Devastation. Are you listening to me tonight? Devastation. I got over it. I guess partly because I learned that middle verse in the Bible, Psalm 118:8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In the same fashion, I can destroy this church if I live a double standard. In the same fashion, all you choir members we honored tonight, you can't live a double standard. Destroys the church. The staff, we can't live a double standard. Sunday school teachers and leadership and those of you that in positions where you're involved in teaching, we can't live a double standard. Can't do it. Paul said, you're witnesses before you. And then he added, just so you'll know, before God also. Whew. I lived holily, justly, and unblameably. Next time you're tempted to live a double standard, do something you shouldn't do, stop and pause and think about the sweetness of the fellowship of this church. Think about what it means to your children. Think about what it would mean to your kids if it got devastated. Example in Paul's instruction. I live before you and before God. Same standard. Holy, just, unblameable life. Paul said, my relationship changed. When I first got there, I was like a nurse cherishing her children, nursing you to salvation. But then as a father, I instructed you to sanctification. Walk worthy of God. Amen, church. You teenage young men, young ladies. That doesn't mean when you're 25. That means right now. Walk worthy of God. Some little kids watching you. You never see it. But their eyes are on you. Walk worthy of God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll take this simple message and drive it deep into our hearts. Oh, God, help us to walk worthy of you. Lord, help us, those of us who teach and preach, help us to do it with intensity and fervency and to challenge and exhort. And Lord, help all of us to live a single standard life before God and before men. Speak to our hearts tonight, oh Lord. Challenge us. in our marriages, in our relationships with our kids, where we work, where we live. Help us to walk worthy of You. Please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is anyone here tonight that would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. You've been praying for somebody in the church who's lost to get saved. It's time for me to get saved. I'm not going to reject the call of God any longer. Pray for me. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that tonight in the church house? Oh, friend, I'm not mad or angry. I just want God to be working your heart, bring you to salvation if you need it. See a small child's hand. God bless you. Amen. If you're here tonight, you've been saved but never baptized. You're invited to come follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But how about a church member? Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. Man, you've been translated. Leave behind that poor life. Stealing and lying and lust and bitterness. You've been translated into a kingdom of glory. Be fervent. This is not a show or performance. This is a family gathering around the living room together as a father doth instruct his children. And don't live a double standard. Please don't live a double standard. If we took the time tonight, I'm sure some of you could even give a testimony about a person in your life to whom you'd given your heart, your confidence. You find out they lived a double life. Oh, how it broke your heart. Be careful. Let's stand together. Please, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. I want you to use the altar tonight. Walk through it. Come on, young man. Come on, young lady. Come on, adults. Let's walk worthy of God tonight. Don't live a double standard. Don't live one way before the eyes of men. Live another way before the eyes of God. Would you come tonight? Walk worthy. Walk worthy of God. What a blessing that He called us. What a blessing that He shown the light, the gospel, in our old darkened hearts and minds. We can see and be saved. Translated to the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. Dismiss us with Your blessing in a moment. And I pray that when we leave here, we begin even tonight, throughout this week and the weeks to follow, to walk worthy of You. Thank You, O God, for calling us into Your kingdom. Help us to live a life becoming the gospel of God. And I'll thank You for it. Bless this church. Bless us as members. May we live a single standard life. May Your blessing be upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.